this color guy I'm telling you about. Would you believe it? He makes as much money as me.
Then he must be twice as smart as you.
From the KKFI studios in Midtown, it's time for Khadija and the White Guys. Oh, we do love that intro. Every time, Michael Jackson. I'm Keith Washburn.
And I am Khadija Hardaway. Toot toot, baby.
All right, we've got a couple of guests this morning, and one of them being Andre Thurman with 100 Mills, Men of Blue Hills, right?
Right, right. He'll be coming in momentarily.
So we're going to just talk a little bit here as we have another guest that's going to be calling in here in a moment just to talk about an upcoming event here in Kansas City. So let's tell our listeners, because we've had Andre on before, let's tell them just a little bit about what 100 Men is all about.
Well, 100 Men is a organization that works, you know, right in the heart of the community, face-to-face with people trying to stop violence. And they do conflict resolution mediation. And so they find the parties that are in disagreement with one another, make them sit down and come to a peaceful resolution or understanding. It's something that our community needs, and I think they're doing a fabulous job at it. They are what I would call, the gatekeepers of trust in the community, because people who are going through certain situations and they don't want to see their loved ones, you know, hurt or victimized or vice versa, you know, and they have the ear of those people, 100 Men of Blue Hills do. So it's kind of like a, I wouldn't say secret society, but it is a way of getting some help without feeling like you're a snitch or what have you. They have to live by their rules and their decree, which is to be peaceful and nonviolent and to find peaceful ways to resolve their issues.
These situations that happen in the community, right?
Right.
Yeah, so most of these guys are ex-offenders. Right. I'm guessing some maybe even ex-felons. Is that true?
I believe the director is, and a few of them are. I'm not for sure how many of them are. I have been working very closely with them. I am a member of 100 Men of Blue Hills. And, some of them are ex-felons, and they have been reformed. But for the most part, I believe a lot of them come from the hip-hop community, the rap community, and they're trying to change the way people view that community as well. And so they have done many peaceful events centered around hip-hop and rap as a way of raising funds and raising awareness about what it is they're trying to do and what avenue and vehicle they're trying to use, which is the hip-hop community.
All right, looks like we may be getting our caller calling in here pretty soon. So it's a great organization. I guess they've got way more than 100 men. So it originally, right?
Well, I think they're right at about 100 members. And they're steadily growing, you know. We're taking a break?
No, that's not a break.
Okay, so I'm not for sure.
We hope that we have a caller. Is our caller on the line?
Hello?
Yeah. All right. Nor, thank you for calling in, and tell us about your event. So this is Nor Higley, and there is an organization that she's going to tell us a little bit about. She's been a guest on our show as well, and she's got an upcoming event that's pretty important. I'd like all of our listeners to maybe grab a piece of paper and a pen and take down some details about this, because this is something you may want to see. It's a couple days. Tell us about it.
Sure, but before I do, I just wanted to say good morning to you and to Khadija. Toot, baby.
I know that's right, Nora.
We're organizing a conference. It's called Truth, A Vision for Peace and Action. It is through the Buchanan Initiative for Peace and Nonviolence, and this initiative started at Avila University last year as a result of a generous donation from Jean Buchanan, who's an Avila alumna, and for the purposes of having a Peace and Justice Summit and an activist in residence on campus, and as well as being the epicenter of peacemaking in Kansas City. So we thought before we go ahead and talk about national and international issues in our Peace and Justice Summit in the fall, we wanted to talk about social justice issues in our own backyard. And for the newer generation, they don't know much about the history of Truth as a dividing line in the city. So we are having Father Alexei Altshul, who's the founder of Reconciliation Services, talk to us about the importance of development without displacement and hyper gentrification, and also about the positive history of Truth in addition to why it's currently a divide right now, and how we can turn those this negative history into something that's more positive and build a healthy community. So we're also having a panel after that that will discuss the underpinnings of for peace building on Truth and the challenges that might come with it. And we're also having, after lunch, we're going to have breakout strategy sessions. We're having several organizations, including Showing Up for Racial Justice, One Struggle KC, Center for Conflict Resolution, Journey to New Life, among many others. So, and the final session is really a report back, and we're ending with poetry read by Stan Banks, who's Avila University's artist in residence and who grew up around the 18th and Vine area. And we're also opening the conference on the 8th with a play written by Donna Ziegenhorn entitled Bingo on the Boulevard. And most of the stories that are in this play are centered around people who lived and grew up around Truth as well. So it is very participatory in nature. There's plenty of time for Q&A, and I hope that our audience will be able to join us. If you want more information, you can go to peace.avila.edu. Again, that's peace.avila.edu. It has the program. It has our partners. It has the registration link. And I want to especially thank our partners at the university, the Center for Global Studies and Social Justice, and the CSJ Center for Heritage, Spirituality, and Service, and Dr. Kelly Minerva, and our partners, the Avila University Black Student Union as well. So everybody's been doing a phenomenal job. It's a great team effort, and hopefully a great gathering of community activists around town. So let's back up
and kind of go through this slowly again so people can get all the details. And again, for more information, it's peace, P-E-A-C-E, dot Avila, A-V-I-L-A, dot E-D-U. So that's, you know, a large university that served Kansas City for years. Right about, what is it, Warnell, and what would you say, 117th?
19th.
Okay,
right.
Somewhere in that area, 117th, 119th in Warnell. You can't miss it. As you drive south on Warren, it'll be on your left-hand side. And Avila has been there for, I think most people are familiar with it, been there for a long time serving Kansas City. That's where this event is going to be, and it's going to be in Whitfield Center. So, you know, once you get on campus, you kind of have to, there's a map online, I'm guessing, as well.
I'll
at avila.edu.
I'll be posting another one soon as well, like a more detailed map that has the exact location and highlighting which one it is, but
so
as we get closer.
Is the play actually in Whitfield as well, Nora?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
So the play is on February 8th, I believe, at 6 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
And this should be some fun, you know, so
right.
If you don't have plans that evening.
It sold out all of it. It's the only play that sold out five, you know, all of its tickets in the five shows that it held during the KC Fringe Festival. So
there you go.
It should be very exciting.
Yeah. And then the next day, it's an all-day event starting at 8 a.m., is that right?
So registration starts at 8:30 a.m., and the conference ends around 4 to 4:30 p.m.
Okay. So pretty much all day there in Whitfield. And as you said, it's participatory. It's something that if you're interested in this kind of thing, nonviolence, which most most of us that are activists here in Kansas City, I think, would probably be advocates of nonviolence, I'm hoping. And this
I hope so, too.
Yeah, this is a way to actually learn more about how you can get issues on the table in a nonviolent way, because that's what basically we all want to demonstrate. You know, if we're going to be in a nonviolent world, we have to start with ourselves.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Is there any kind of action charge once I know it's participation within the conference, But once the conference is over, is there a kind of action charge for people to take when they leave? And can you kind of just share with us with that, what would be, you know, what they would come away with?
So in our third session, we're hoping, well, let me back up a bit. In our second session, we are hoping to set the grounds for, okay, this is where we're trying to go in terms of peace building on truth. And in the third session, we'll be breaking out and talking about sharing a little bit about our stories and experiences in relation to truth, and then specifically talking about what actions and what strategies and tactics that people in the group think are effective for peace building and why, and share examples of successes or victories, because we know that even though people do take action, not all of it is effective, and we want to focus on what has been effective and what is building peace in a successful way. And we know that this might be objective, but at least, you know, we'll all have some clarity on, in terms of how do we see ourselves walking towards action. And then the last question in that group is, what action can we build on from what has been and is being accomplished, and how can these be expanded? Because we're not assuming that we're the first to discuss this topic. We're not assuming that there haven't been some great developments that happened in that area from a long time, and that we just want to add to that and take it further, because there continues to be some divide around that area. So and we will have an action chart, and people can write a vow to themselves and say, this is how I do want to take action. Particularly in the report back at the end of the session, it'll be kind of like summarizing all the discussions that have been taking place around the conference, and sharing, okay, so what forms of action will we be taking after this, obviously. So it's we're not sure if people will have the same, you know, be on the same page in terms of taking action. So we're going to have an advocacy chart or a chart that highlights how there's different actions, and have people identify where they fall on that chart. So if they are into education, that's great, but at least they're clear about it. And if they're into advocacy, then that's great, but at least they're clear about it. And if they're into direct action, that's also great, but at least we're clear about it. And so we're all familiar, and it'll help us get to a sense of who's working on what and when. So, and it's also relationship building at the end of the day, that we're focusing on making sure that our community knows each other, and that we know, we all know what we're working towards, so that we can be supportive of each other's goals,
you know,
no matter how different our actions may be.
Yeah. What's maybe a little bit interesting, and I'm just making this up, that there may be some people listening right now that are going like, oh, these guys are a bunch of pansies. They don't know how to really get anything done. Most of the people that are on the panel are people who are activists. Let me tell you, folks, these are folks that got some serious fire burning in their belly, and they've just found that this is the best way to actually get things accomplished. So they're going to be, you know, talking about some of the ways that they have been able to get things accomplished. And I want to say also that Father David, most people that might be listening might know him as Father David, because now he's changed his name because of his religious affiliation to Father Alexei. But Father David, who was down on 31st and Troost for years and years and years, at Reconciliation Services, you know, he's no slouch either. Just listening to Father David is something that I definitely want, that I would be there if it weren't for our radio show. And I'm going to be here, and then I'll be going directly down to Avila that morning on February 9th. And he is also a very engaging speaker and a guy who's gotten a lot accomplished here in Kansas City at 31st and Troost, which is right across the street from Sister Berta and Operation Breakthrough. So a little history for you there, folks, to kind of tie this in.
Well, before we leave this conversation, I just want to say this, that, you know, truth has a very rich history in the history of slavery. And it has been the way it is for over 100 years. And I have seen this conversation over and over about the divide of the truth line. What I would hope and pray for when you guys come out is that you have some kind of legal mandate that affects businesses and the diversity around that area so that everything can become inclusive, maybe by law, not maybe by favor of a personality or massaging or emotions. I think a lot of times we just spend so much time in the emotion that we can't come together, that we don't realize just really taking a stance with the government and saying, hey, look, things need to change, and we need to craft some kind of laws, legislation, legal mandates that says that people can come together.
That's great, a great point. Well, we encourage your participation as well, Khadija. So that's definitely what we want to encourage folks to come in and think about, is how we focus on root causes of inequality. And and yes, you know, we are going to be talking about services and whatnot, but it's serving the short term. But we also want to talk about what's serving us in the long term as well. So some solutions that are legally binding, definitely. But the thing is, you know, the conference organizers are creating that space to have those discussions, and we don't want to impose our own vision, if that makes sense. So we definitely encourage you to participate, and for folks to participate to have their ideas shared and to help inspire other folks, because really, you know, nothing can happen by just one group or one individual. It's a peace movement that really needs to take place for us to see some actual tangible change. So
yeah, so I mean, to reiterate that point, what you're saying is there is no particular agenda for this group. This is for anybody who wants to get something accomplished. We are advocating a peaceful way to do that. And then if people want to talk over lunch about their particular things that they would really like to see get some traction, well, that's a great time for networking, right?
Right. Well, we will be talking about strategies. We have a session just set up for strategies, so we're hoping, you know, people do connect over lunch. Not necessarily just over strategy, but us just connect in general. So, and I can tell you from now, from looking at the RSVP list, it's very diverse. We have members from the interfaith community, members from universities, and various groups around town. So, it'll be and some student presence as well. So it'll be a great opportunity for the community to interact with students, and for the students to interact with the community as well. So,
yeah, sounds good. All right. Well, we sure thank you for calling in this morning. Again, February 8th.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. February 8th and 9th.
Thank
on
you,
February
Nora.
8th, it's the play at 6 p.m. On February 9th, it's all day, starting at 8:30 a.m. for registration and ending around 4 or 4:30. It's all happening down at Avila University at the Whitfield Center there. And for more information, you go to peace, P-E-A-C-E, dot Avila, dot E-D-U. I get that right?
Yep.
Hey, not bad for the white boy, huh?
Nora, I just want to toot you for all the great work you're doing in the community. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Khadija.
Thanks for calling in.
And thank you, Keith.
Yeah, you bet. I'll see you on February 9th.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
So, listeners, this morning we've had a lot of technical difficulties, so our show is kind of like running by the spirit a little bit. So
yeah, I wouldn't call it technical exactly. We had a guest that decided to cancel on us at the very last minute. There are no technical difficulties this morning, but we're kind of scrambling for a topic, and Andre is supposed to be here, and he's trying to come in early. But we're going to talk a little bit about just, and by the way, call in right now if you've got some ideas. But Khadija just said we need some legislation to, how did you put that? You wanted legislation to...
That mandates that people come together in a diverse way. The call-in number, if you want to call in and join us, is 816-931-5534. Call in and give us some of your opinions. And yeah, I want to spend a little time on that topic, but I would really like to talk about Steve Harvey just a little bit.
Okay, what about Steve Harvey?
Well, as we all know, Steve Harvey went in front of, went and met with Trump at the Trump Towers.
I don't know if everybody knows that, but go ahead.
Okay, well, if you don't, you know it now. He met with Trump at the Trump Towers, and his invitation was to work with Ben Carson in the housing department. And Steve has received a lot of backlash from that. He's been called a coon, an Uncle Tom, a sellout. And it has been a very big topic, is the way the leadership of the black community looks in front of the president-elect. And the fact that most of our people have been athletes or some other form of a person just trying to be the leader for us. When we have leaders in different directions and different areas, in housing, I mean, we have, if Steve really wanted to, he could have gotten his housing person from his city, the mayor, someone who knew a little bit more about housing in his community or what he sees as his former community in the inner city. It just baffles me that we as African Americans have people who are doctors, lawyers, people who have political science degrees, people who are actively working at HUD. It just baffles me why we couldn't even find someone on a state level, you know, to represent us, you know, hand in hand with Ben Carson. Is this what people want us to look at as far as the leadership in African American communities? It really is something that has affected the thought patterns of many Americans and have just kind of stopped and stumped us about the leadership representation. And it's not just Steve Harvey, it's a lot of the picks that he have picked. They don't have any expertise in the areas for which he has picked them for. So I feel like we're in a real bad case of dumbing down America.
So what would be the solution for that? We'd love to hear your call, your thoughts on that, 816-931-5534. So Steve has, what, declined? Is that, or is he going to, I mean, the fact that he went and met with Trump,
no,
I get
he's... He met with him, and at that time, it looked like he's going to work with Ben Carson. The claim is that they both are from the inner city, so because they are products of the inner city, and that they make good for the position, but I'm a product of the inner city. I mean, most African Americans are products from the inner city. That doesn't mean that they know a whole lot about laws and regulations and rules in the housing department.
We do have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and what area of town you calling in from?
Oh, my name's Molly. I'm calling from east of the stadium. Downsized into a one-bedroom apartment.
Good morning, Molly.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You're on the air. So if you get a little bleed through.
I heard this morning that, that Medicare is going to be cut by $400,049 billion, and Medicaid is going to be cut by $1 trillion. And I'm wondering how we can get these old people out to, and young people, out to do something about this.
Okay, well, there's, you know, what are we going to do to show our political interest or disinterested in things like those cuts, right? So what do we do as citizens in order to keep this stuff from happening, to tell our legislators that we don't want these sort of cuts? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I'm just thinking I took part in the $15 in a union movement, and one young woman who had diabetes couldn't afford, because she works at fast food, couldn't afford to go to a doctor, and she died. And they had a memorial for her. It's gonna be horrible.
You know, in a lot of these cases, we are unaware sometimes, or it just laps our memory, that we are to call our legislators, our congressmen and our senators, and let them know of our disapproval with what is going on, especially when it comes to something like the cuts in Medicaid and Medicare. I mean, as far as I know or understand the media, and this is multiple outlets, is that they plan on cutting Obamacare, and they don't have a replacement plan. So here you're talking about cuts in multiple directions with nothing to replace those things. I know working in the retirement home with a lot of the seniors, you know, they're already struggling to meet the demand of high cost of living in the retirement homes and assisted facilities. So, I mean, I think you're looking at a crumbling of a business or a industry, really, if that happens. I can't see nursing homes and retirement homes making it without Medicaid and Medicare. And that is a substantial amount of money. So my thing, and you know, this is not the views of KKFI, but this is my view. I think we all need to call our legislators. We need to write letters, and then we need to have people sign on to those letters to let them know that we're speaking in numbers and we're speaking in volumes. We want something to change. We want something done. And if anything, we want you to increase Medicaid and Medicare. You might think that's crazy and bold, but it's what we need. We don't need a decrease.
All right. We do have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Give us your name and area town you're calling in from.
Good morning, Brother Ron. Checking in.
Brother Ron, good to hear your voice this morning. It's been a while.
Peace be unto everyone. And I would hope that we could all pull ourselves together as we prepare ourselves for the inauguration, or whatever you want to call him. Whatever he could be to us, and he's going to be many things to many people. Khadija, Tutu, baby. What you were saying about our brother, Harvey, Steve Harvey, any door might open. We don't know. I remember Richard Nixon, who was a low-life thief and a crook. He left some doors open. It doesn't matter who the individual person is, it's the possibilities, because we're in a struggle that we've been in for a long time. We stand on a lot of shoulders, and we do flip from Democrats to Republicans, and it goes back and forth. And our whole system is really adversarial. So I would advise, you know, Steve Harvey just happened to be a $100 million man, according to Forbes magazine last month. Steve now makes $100 million, so okay. I think he should have a chance. Jim Brown's been out there for a lot of years, but I can, America, I can. Some of the people that Trump chooses, we're not going to like most of the people, but that doesn't shut all doors to us because we have unseen.
Ron, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm sorry.
Well, that's cool. We should. I mean, matter of fact, it's time to disagree. What's your disagreement?
The disagreement is that this man is $100 million.
Right.
And he wasn't smart enough to bring his housing authority in there, his mayor, someone, a real weapon. The only weapon that he had was his 100.
Remember,
no,
he
listen,
brings nothing.
The only
it's
weapon
like
he
the
had
walk.
Was his
He's
100 million.
He's just being showed off by this man who has another agenda. He's just being used. I'm saying while you are being used, maybe something can be taken off the table for your people.
He could have went in there and said.
He ain't coming in there with nothing.
He didn't come in there. He came in there by himself. He's a comedian. And he spoke about.
He ain't calling no shots.
Listen, the article in the paper said that he made a joke about Obama's against the Trumps on Family Feud. We're talking about the leadership at the highest level of the country. This man is $100 million. He could have came in there and said, you can start with me at the first black man. I will give you $4 million and look for the next person to match that. He could have did something like that. But he went in there for a feel-good time for that man to tell him that you're a great businessman, you're a great this. But nothing that came out of his mouth talked about rules, regulations, mandates for people who are hurting in the inner city, poor people, white people that are poor, all kind of people that are poor who are suffering up under, you know, Section 8 laws, Section 3 laws. He said none of that. He had no meat and potatoes. The only meat and potatoes he had was the fact that he has a suitcase of $100 million. Other than that, this man said nothing.
But my sister, I'm saying, the man wasn't invited to bring his agenda in.
But he should have. You don't go to a gunfight with your hands in your pocket. You go with some ammunition.
Right. Well, we need to look at it all and our contacts. What's going to be on the table for us as we move into the Trump years is going to be before Trump and after Trump. We will decide which way we want to fight this. But the war never ended. It just moved to another phase. But we have to reorganize. Politics are local.
Ryan, would you
we
agree?
We have to restructure. We out in the cold.
Would you agree?
We didn't get what we should have got when we had one African-American president, two African-American attorney generals, right? We've had that. We all remember how we talk about black, vote black, buy black, be black? Well, we had that, and we are not in a better advantage position.
But you got to realize, just because you're a black attorney general, you're the black president, you're everybody's president. So, again, if you're saying that we're in war, why would we show up with no ammunition?
Because we are the docile ones who have been invaded. We never had ammunition. We always wanted to share and give our food and our life to everybody.
Could I jump in just 1 second? out of respect for Steve Harvey and what took place, I think it's probably a misunderstanding here, is that Steve Harvey, according to what he said, that he was invited to the Trump Tower to speak with Donald Trump. And in the conversation, Trump-elect, he asked Steve Harvey, what is it that he would like to be done? And Steve Harvey told him that he was interested in the inner city and the housing conditions in the inner city. He said he would like to help with that. Then he said immediately Donald Trump put Ben Carson on the phone and told him that Mr. Harvey is interested in helping in urban development and helping in the community development.
I'm sorry, Daddy, but he knew that mandate before he sat down with Trump. He knew that.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you what the conversation was about, according to him. I don't know what he knew or what he didn't know, but the way that this conversation unfolded is that he had an interest in housing, and he put him in touch with the man who was in housing and told him that over the loudspeaker that Steve Harvey was interested in helping. And then from there, a dialogue went on between Steve Harvey and Dr. Ben Carson.
You have it wrong, Dad.
Well, I want to tell our listeners who this is that's talking right now. This is Murad Kareem, better known as Brother Kareem, and we have Ron McMillan on the phone. Ron, you still there?
Yeah.
And so then, we have Brother Ron.
Thank you for explaining who we are. But one of the gist of that is that Dr. Ben will now be in charge of a $48 billion HUD budget. And that's what we need to start looking at. How's that going to work out? And can that be supported or protested against? Where are we going to be at, you know?
So,
it's all interesting and all brand new.
Yep. We do appreciate you calling in this morning, Brother Ron. Thanks for the call, as always.
Okay. So keep the faith and get ready and prepare yourselves for a different world.
All right. Thank you again. That was Brother Ron McMillan, one of our regular callers, and you heard Murad Kareem on there for a little bit. We also have another caller. We got a bunch of callers stacked up, so callers, if you would just be patient with us. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and area town you're calling in from?
Hello?
You are on the air.
Okay, hello. My name is Stephen.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And I'm a black man and who happens to be a person who actually voted for Donald Trump. And after years of voting for the Democratic Party, you know, and getting the same thing after a long consideration, a lot of prayer, hey, I voted for Donald Trump. Now, but here's the thing that concerns me is how, you know, when we go out, when Donald Trump goes out and get Steve Harvey, Ben Carson, and, you know, Ben Carson, as far as I know, he was a world-renowned surgeon. And however, he appoints this guy to the head of HUD. That just indicates to me how marginalized black people are in this country. I don't think Maine America take us seriously. And I don't blame them because I don't think we even take ourselves seriously. We group ourselves in with all these other groups, and what we end up finding, we end up at the back of the groups, and none of our interests are represented. So,
hey, good comment.
I think this is. I'm sorry.
Good comment. No, I appreciate that. Did you have more?
Yes. Yes. I mean, but it's just a joke. I mean, when we see celebrities like Jim Brown, he's a football player. You don't take a doctor to a football game. You go out and get a football player. You don't take a lawyer to a basketball game. You go and get a basketball player. I mean, it's just a joke. It's a slap in black people's face. And we so, I think we have brought into the marginalization because we sit back and say, oh, well, you know, Ray Lewis, Jim Brown. Hey, what about Tony Brown?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, go ahead, please.
During the process of the election, when Trump was saying so many mean and nasty things about so many different people, and I mean literally treating people discriminatory toward, I mean, in many ways at his rallies and things, what in your mind made you still vote for Trump, even though I hear what you're saying about the other side, but to hear the words that came out of this man's mouth during his campaign, what was it that made you say, I'm still going to vote for him? Was it because he was true to whatever he was saying? Because I believe a lot of what he was saying, he believed. And it wasn't good for people. So I'm asking that question because here we are now, and you're worried. But you wasn't worried when he was actually thumping all those things
out. I'm not worried at all. I'm concerned. You know, it's always interesting. To me, I like to hear the truth. I can hear the truth. I can work within the truth. If I know exactly how you think in your belief system, I know how I have to deal with you. You know, what really made me vote for Trump was years of dealing with liberals telling us, hey, we smarter than you, and we know how to do it best, and if you listen to us, that'll be the best solution for you. I mean, look at my choices. I had Hillary Clinton. You know, well, I know what her husband did. He took a lot of guys that look like me off the streets, you know? A lot of them guys that are in them penitentiaries do not belong there, you know? So, you know, I didn't have a choice. I wanted to participate in the election process.
Absolutely. So, well, we can disagree with you, and I'm not saying that we both disagree with you, but I think it sounds like maybe Khadija doesn't think you should have voted for Trump. But it's a free country, and I think there were other African Americans who obviously voted for Trump. They also wanted change. That's what I hear you saying is, hey, I want some change.
Yes, I want to change.
Yeah, thanks for calling in this morning, Stephen. Really appreciate the comments.
Well, you got it.
All right, so we've got another caller.
Caller?
And, caller, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you are there. You're on the air.
Okay, this is Ray. I'm not going to give you my last name. But as far as the people goes, like Donald Trump, you guys take it easy on that guy. Don't give that mother a chance. Steve Harvey, leave Steve Harvey alone. If somebody invited you to the White House, the leader of the free world, to come and have dinner with him, meet with him, go and meet with him. How you going to know what he's about? situation here with the people and the black people and so forth. The main thing is our biggest problem here is we're not together. We defeat our own cause and always calling me, I'm African-American. No, I'm not an African-American. I'm an American. You know what I mean? My grandfather's Chickasaw. My father's Irish descent, which the Macaroons was bought by the Irish and lived on the side of the Irish as free men and so forth. I've been to Ireland. Irish people are real cool. Hung out over there for a month. You know what I mean? So the situation with us talking about together, we defeat our own purpose. We are those Jews that left the land with Moses. We the Nigers over there. You guys wake up. Come together. Do your thing. Do your prayers. Handle your business. If you're not confident within yourself, I look up to no man. I look around to my God. Think I'm looking up to that man next to me? I don't think so. I get everything on this earth that I ask for because my God gives it to me. I've been here for 8 years and doing better than most of these brothers here because they fight each other. You see all these killings, them 120-something keep killing over there in Missouri? Those are all brothers on brothers, young brothers, because their mothers and fathers didn't teach them. If nobody twists your arm to use that drug, you're going to go use that drug. You lost your damn mind. You're going to mess your whole family up.
Okay,
whole generations. Go ahead.
Nobody's saying that Steve shouldn't have met with the president. But you don't show up with into a meeting that you have no idea about the topic. And just because you're passionate doesn't mean that you're educated in the topic. You don't show up without the people who can make a change. Otherwise, you're there just for a photo op. You know, have you ever heard the story of Plum Nelly?
Never heard of Plum Nelly.
Did things for stupid reasons. He thought he was doing a great thing. But in his mindset, his mama told him, she said, go to the store, put the butter in the cooler. So when you come back, it won't melt. You know, but what Plum Nelly did was everything that the mama told him to do, he did the next step to that thing. So instead of putting the butter in the chest, before she told him put something in his hat. So he put the butter in the hat instead of the chest. This is Steve Harvey at his best. And I don't knock Steve Harvey for being a great man who has come up by the means of his, by the means of what his gifts are. And his gifts are not in the area of HUD. And so he should have brought the HUD person from his state, from his community. He should have brought his mayor there, who knows what the community looked like, who knows what the disparities are.
Steve Harvey's a comedian. He's a comedian.
Exactly. And he doesn't need to represent me in housing.
He got a chance to do those talk shows. So he's a comedian. Come on. What are you supposed to do? You're going to beat up the comedian?
I think you're too compromising, sir.
You can't take Steve Harvey seriously. He's no politician.
Exactly my point.
Like, Donald Trump, he's no politician. He stumbled. America spoke.
That's exactly my point.
America spoke. I was right on television watching them. Blacks, whites, everybody vote for Trump. They wanted something different. They tied Obama's hands. And they're not going to be able to dismantle the health care plan. Don't forget about that. That's ours. In order for the group, maybe we'll, everybody needs health care.
Sir, so do you have Medicare?
I have everything I need in the United States.
Do you have Social Security?
I have everything that I have. I live in the United States. This is a great country.
Okay, if you have any of these, your vote for Trump,
I voted for Hillary.
Okay, well, regardless, you're at risk to losing part of your income, part of the things that sustain you. And so are people who are living in public housing. They're at risk because these people don't know what they're doing. Not only that, we're talking about the time during a transition when you go meet with the president. This is not a feel-good moment where, you know, like he's inviting you to dinner. He is setting up what the country should look like, how it should be ran and operated during this time. So it's not like, let's go sit down and eat dinner. It's like, let's strategize and let's get together so we can run this country. And this man has no idea about the topics in which he is speaking on. So that's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, it's not that you were invited. It's that you were invited and you didn't take the proper people with you to represent us. You should have been smarter than that.
Well, I have a question. I kind of like some of the stuff Ray's saying, which is, hey, you know what? I've got, you know, I rely on the man upstairs. I think I heard him say a little bit of that. This is this country is, you know, giving me what I need and so forth. And also, I think one other thing I really agree with what Ray said, we're going to let him, you know, say if I'm right about this, is that we need to get away from this whole divide of talking about African Americans and talking about white people. It's just, I'm an American. Is that what you said, Ray?
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. I've been around this earth representing this country. When I come from Compton, Long Beach. We got wars in Long Beach. We got wars in Compton. We got wars all over the place here. More people die in these cities in the United States with these guns than they do in a lot of those wars over there across the seas, so forth. But as far as with this, if you are a bigot, you should just succeed. You could go start your own country somewhere. Get a bunch of y'all together. Go start your own country. Get away from us. I mean, I'm American, straight. So, I mean, you can't tell me nothing different.
But your president-elect has exemplified being a bigot. And you just said, if you're a bigot, go start another country. He is right here.
Okay, well, Ray, thanks for calling in this morning. That was a good comment.
Don't mean to attack you, Ray.
Generated some good conversation for sure. The number again is 816-931-5534. And I just saw Larry J. walk in the other room, and that means it's almost time for Larry J.'s Sweet Southern Soul. He's coming up here at 10 o'clock, so stay tuned, y'all. Again, that number, 816-931-5534. We're talking a little bit about the visit to the White House. and by Steve Harvey.
Not the White House. I guess it's the new
White House. Not the White House, right.
Trump Towers.
He actually went to Trump Towers, the visit by Steve Harvey to Donald Trump this morning, and other topics as well.
I just want to say this. African Americans have been marginalized a lot. And to put a comedian on the national stage, athletes, people who do not hold masters, well, I couldn't say that because a lot of them do, but to show them as our representation for African Americans, even though you say, you know, we're all one, when we're marginalized, that makes a difference who we see in front of us. And so at the top level, if you don't have a HUD representative at the top level, if you don't have an educator representing education at the top level, if you don't have our national security protected by a highest level of military officer, then we're not doing it right. There's something wrong with us. We've missed the boat. And I know I believe in creating things from, you know, the dust, but I believe in hiring people that are the experts. And right now, we're looking at something that doesn't look right.
All right, we've got another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Your name and area town you're calling in from. You're on the air. You are on the air. Okay, we'll try this line. You're on the air. Give us your name and area town you're calling in from.
My name is Angela, and I'm from Lee Summit.
Angela, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My question is not so much what's going on here as why would President-elect ask for a comedian to come to the White House as opposed to the leadership, the business leaders or mayors or people who understand what's going on in their various cities? I mean, a comedian, is he saying that we're just jokes?
Yeah, that's
basically
a little bit what Khadija's asking this morning, too, is it seems like kind of a photo op, really. It just seems like something to make it look like, you know, we're trying to include African-Americans. And I think Angela's making a great point. Did you have anything else this morning, Angela?
No, that was my concern. It just seems that those people who are in leadership who may understand business practices or government practices are not who they are interfacing, the new administration is interfacing with. We need that if we're going to come together as a country, because whether it's in 4 years or 8 years, the administration will change. So we need to be trying to work at a plan to work together so that all Americans are included.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling in this morning. Very good. So good call there by Angela. We do have another caller, I believe. Caller, you're on the air. What area town are you calling in? What's your name? Oh, I'm having trouble with this other line. You're on the air. Are you there? Yes.
Yes.
It's you.
Yes, this is Ray calling from Kansas City.
Okay, another Ray. We had a Ray earlier. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. I had a question there because it says Steve Harvey went and visited with Trump at Trump Towers there. I was wondering, when he was invited to Trump Tower, did Trump say that he wanted to call him in and talk to him about being on the housing committee or something with Ben Carson? Or was he just inviting him to the White House to see what he was interested in or what he had to say? Or was that his agenda to have him to work with Ben Carson? And I listened off the radio.
All right. Yeah, thanks for calling in this morning, Ray.
According to Steve Harvey himself, he said that he got a call from both transition teams to come and sit down and talk with the president-elect about housing. When he got there, they sat down and they had a misogynistic conversation about, hey, you great, you I'm great, this and that. Then they got on the phone with Ben Carson, and then they discussed the childhood of growing up in the inner city with one another, and that was their passion and connection to housing and HUD. Other than that, there was no other meat and bone conversation about what was going to take place, the strategies, you know, is there going to be an improvement of the lives living in under the codes of HUD? Was there going to be a redirection? There was nothing. And at the end, he smiled and he shook hands and he grinned really big in front of that camera. And even in the fact when he was in front of that camera and his statements, they weren't cohesive. So you know the conversation didn't take place. So that's just my thing.
I mean, we can't know for sure what happened, right?
Well, he didn't express what happened in the meeting in a way that you understood that something took place.
Maybe he's going to have Trump on his Family Feud. He was inviting the Trumps on. What do you think?
Well, to me, you know, it's funny in a comedian way. But because he tried to act like he took this with some real seriousness, it's not funny. It's not funny at all that he would make a joke about the leadership at the highest level in his entertaining show. It wasn't funny to me, especially when he expressed himself and then expressed the understanding of what people were trying to convey to him. He really does not understand that people don't think that he has the capacity to be involved in HUD.
You're talking about Steve Harvey doesn't
Absolutely.
Understand that, right? So who knows what Steve's motive was for going there. But, I got to just say in general, yeah, it doesn't seem like we're getting people that are knowledgeable about their field as candidates for some of these positions. And it looks like, and I hate to use this word, but I think it's pretty accurate. It looks like we're just looking for a token. So we're going to get somebody famous, Steve Harvey, have him come in and talk about this when, you know, we don't know what he knows about
housing.
We're
going to add that word to the list, token. I said coon, some other things.
Doesn't it look like that, really?
Yeah, you know. Yeah. But you know, I've had a couple of different run-ins with Steve Harvey addressing civil rights issues. He probably doesn't even know who little old me is. But there has been times.
He knows who the white guy is, though.
Maybe. There has been times where we have had issues about civil rights, injustice, and he refused to talk about those topics on his show. Refused to. And that only says that he has a special interest somewhere else. And that's where this meeting comes from, is that same special interest, in my opinion.
All right. We do have a couple of callers. Let's finish up with the show with a couple of callers quickly.
Okay,
you're on the air, sir. Go ahead. What area town are you calling in? What's your first name?
Sound like you're buying coffee.
You there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. What's your name? Your first name, please?
Grady.
Grady. Okay. Well, good morning. What's your comment or question?
Well, you know, I was with the lady, and I believe what she's saying, which makes a lot of sense. He is selecting a lot of people that don't have the expertise in the fields that he's putting them in. But, you know, I think that we as a people, for the most part, even with the other politicians that we have had in there, really haven't done a good job as well. So I don't know, maybe things might turn out from this bad situation in a good way, possibly. You know, I'm not sure. I believe that, truly, that we as a people need to come together ourselves, start doing things for ourselves, rather than waiting on these politicians to do things for us. A lot of these people are making the big bucks, you know, and they are not sympathetic or have forgotten where they have came from, so they don't really care, per se, about helping the little man anyway.
Yeah, good comment. Yeah, we appreciate you calling in. We got to leave it there because we've got one more caller, and we're trying to get our show finished for the day. We're going to try to squeeze one more caller in. Thank you for calling in. And our next caller, you're on the air, your name and area town you're calling in from.
Hi, this is Rich. Can you understand? Can you hear me?
Rich,
hey, Rich.
Good morning.
Good morning. Khadijah, I love to listen to you talk. You're very logical, and I'm
great. Hey. Thank you.
Yeah. What do you think about a possibility of passing the 1/8% sales tax in Kansas City? And if it's going to pass, it's got to reach out to non African American voters. How do you sell it to them?
Okay, good question to end the show with. Thanks for calling in, Rich.
I think media is the best way to go to express to a large people, but I also believe that sometimes the face of whatever you're trying to sell to someone needs to change. You know, I remember back in the civil rights, well, I don't remember, I was told back in the civil rights time that sometimes it couldn't be the black man or whoever you wanted to go in front of the people. Sometimes it had to be someone else. You have to send a different messenger. And so I believe that if they sent a different messenger, someone who was more in tune with the community that they wanted to reach out to, then that could happen.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. We're going to be back next week right here at 9 a.m. on KKFI.
Toot-toot, baby.
For my co-host, Khadija Hardaway, and for our phone answerer and sometimes commentator this morning, Murad Kareem. Appreciate y'all listening this morning. Here's Stevie to close us out.